I wanted to take a tefillah, which is a Yom in the Rhyme tefillah. We actually don't say it here, but many places do say it. It's the tefillah of Anim Zmiris. So I never spoke about Anim Zmiris because we don't say it here. But Lemaisa entails actually that they did say it. The minhag by the Gra, because he would say it by all the Yomim Tovim. Say it Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Not the rest of the year. Actually, there's a fascinating Levush. When he talks about the tefillah of Anim Zmiris, he talks about it in the tefillahs of by Asher Yehuda Tzion. He says there's a minhag, some people have to say it every day. And he's not happy with that minhag because of the kedusha of the tefillah. He's not happy with that minhag. He should say it every day. At least there should be some way, should be nicker, that when you're saying it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or he suggested say his suggestion is to say it on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. That's his suggestion. He says, but at least if you say it every day, there should be some way that it's nicker, it's different when you say it on the, these times. By opening the Oren. So, for example, the same thing we have Aleinu. The Aleinu that we do, we say on the Yom Nirvana, we open the Oren for Aleinu, even though we say Aleinu every day, but we give it a different flavor. It has a different flavor, the Aleinu that we say with the Oren open on Yom Nirvana, than the one we say every day. So, similarly, I would suggest that on the Zmiris, you would open the Oren Kurdish. On the Zmiris, he says the minhag was to say it every day. You say it every day, but especially on the day, you open the Oren for it. He's not Nicho to this idea of just saying it every day. He says it's because of the kedusha of the tefillah. So what exactly is this tefillah? What is it about? Why is it so kaddish? Now, it's known, interestingly enough, that this tefillah has a name. It's called Shir HaKavod, which is unique amongst tefillahs, that the tefillahs are called, that they have a name, but most tefillahs, the name of tefillahs is tefillah, you know, right? Oh, Aleinu is called Aleinu, that's what it is, you know. This is Shir HaKavod. I suppose there's something called Shir Yichud, which is said by the yeshiva on Yom Kippur night, for those who stick around. And notice that Rabbi Katz is going to say something about the Amid. That's called Shir Yichud. This is Shir HaKavod. Okay. If you look through the tefillah, there's a few points which stick out in this tefillah, which jump out at you in the tefillah. So the Mechaber of the tefillah, which is Amr Service, it's Yehuda Chassid. Yehuda Chassid was in Germany in the 11th century. Predates Rashi. He got the title of Chassid because obviously to get a title of Chassid in those type of generations, he was a unique individual. He asked Rishus to say this tefillah. He sort of gives an excuse, the right to say this tefillah. We're going to talk about the Kadosh Baruch Hu in some anthropomorphic way. We're going to discuss different attributes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, well, I'm following the path of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im have done that. The Nevi'im have spoken about a Kadosh Baruch Hu with anthropomorphisms. So that allows us to do the same. That's the introduction of the Zmiris. And the second point, which you get the feel of the tefillah, is that he focuses very much on the head. It talks about Zikna Bacharus, Saros Beseva Vashacharus, talks about Chavos Kavi Yeshua Baroshoi, Tali Oris Roshoi Nimla, Kutus up his locks, or Sisei Lila, Kesem Tor, Paz Zemus Roshoi, Bechalko Metach Kavet Shem Kodshoi, Machos Roshoi Kavi Mimba Kurois, Steve Malucha, which is the crown. Peri Peri Lov, he's wearing the crown on his head. Kesher Tefillin, which is worn on the head. Roish Tevorach Ames, which is Karemi Roish, is referring to not the head, but the generations. etc. So he seems to be focusing on Rechusis Sanala Li Rosh. So the stress of the tefillah is in the union of the head. Okay.
Rabbi, did Rabbi Yehuda Chasson have a source of call?
Yes. So, let's try and explain this a little bit. So, the ketter which says, Dimo oyscho, b'loki fi yeshcho, v'yashavucha l'fi ma'asecho. Says they compared you, but not as you really are. And they were vayeshavucha. They presented you according to your actions. Himshiluha b'roish chazyerus. They made mesholim in many different visions. Hincha echad b'chol dimyonis. But truthfully, you're only one. So this is a very basic concept in Kabbalah. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu really is one, but the only way we are able to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu is through his actions. We have no way to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. The human being's mind cannot grasp Kadosh Baruch Hu in any way, shape, or form. We're grasping an infinite being, which is beyond the comprehension of the human mind. That the Zohar uses a lashon that the machshava can't be tougher than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Baal Tanya has a balding mashal, says the same level of impossibility that a physical hand can't grasp a machshava, the machshava human being can't grasp a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, that machshava can't be tofes, it can't use lashon tfisa. It's saying the same impossibility of human beings' hand being tofes a machshava, our minds can't be tofes a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? We know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, his maisa. He acts in certain ways, and from the fact that he acts in certain ways, we have understanding of what he wants us to know about him. At better, he understands. We can't say what we know about him, because right, that's about we know about him what he decided to act to let us know about him. That's about as much as we can know about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The name for that reality of being aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu through his actions is referred to as Shemos. The word shame means the name of Hashem. So what does it mean, the name of Hashem? It's not really the name of Hashem, because we can't put a name on Hashem. It says the same way, so the Ibn Ezra says that the word shame is the same root from the word shom. I've mentioned this idea before. That's if I want to tell you about, you know, there's this guy, he's like 6'2", and he's blonde hair, wears glasses, a beard, right? So you're not sure who I'm talking about. I say his name, oh, I know who you're talking about. So there he is, Shom. There he is. So the word shame is a way to point to there he is. So we talk about a shame of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all we can say is that's our way to point to there he is, but really can't say where there he is. And most we can say is that's the way he's acting. So for us, that's the shame of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Different shames represent different ways the Kodesh Baruch Hu interfaces with the world. These shamans are also the so we talk about the shamans of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we talk about the Nahagas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We talk about something which is referred to as spheros. There are spheros are really another way of saying these are ways that Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. For our purposes, that's all it means. A sphera is a Nahaga that Kodesh Baruch Hu has about how he's doing with the world. So what is we talk about Kabbalistic, the concept of there's the 10 spheres. So why are we giving a fancy name called spheres? Call it names or call it hagas? Like, well, why do we have to call it spheres? So I'm not going to explain to you why the name is spheros, but what's unique about the 10 spheres is they represent a flow of how a hashpo comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria. And there's a process. So the mushroom which is used to explain it is, let's say, for a person decides that he's going to be building, an architect is building something. So he starts with the first step, there's the the first, there's the kernel of thought, what he wants to build. That's the first step, the desire to build. Then he develops that, takes that, and he develops into a full thought, exactly what he wants to do. From that point in time, then he then transfers it into the process of planning stage. There's like, yeah, let's make a house. This area would be great to have a building there. Okay, what type of building fits there? Okay, how are we going to make the building? In more detail. And then there's the actual action of making the building. So we have the same concept of a process of thought by Kodesh Baruch Hu also. Now, the step before the thought, the Bria, or the Hanhaga, the Russian wants to put in the Bria, that starts at that moment. Where does that come from beforehand? That's not our business. We have no shackles to that world. But at some point, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has a desire to create something. And then he, or to make a certain hug in the Bria, and then he processes it. So in the spheres, if you're familiar with the spheres, there are 10 spheres, and they're divided into two parts. The two parts of the spheres are, the upper spheres are called moichin, which means they have to do with the thought process, and that's the top three, it's the first three. And the last seven are referred to as different names for that, but it's the process. It's no longer it's not the moichin anymore. It's the process of doing them. You have chesed, you have din, you have rachamim, you have netzach hoyd and tiferes, and then you have yisoid. Chesed, din, tiferes, netzach hoyd, yisoid, and then malchus. It's a fascinating thing. The top three are called Keser, Chochma, and Bina. Keser is a crown. The last one is Malchus, which is the kingship, which goes with the crown. So it seems to be strange that we start with Keser, we end up back to Malchus. So what is that about? So when we talk about why the Russian created the world, he created the world for the purpose of Kesser. The process of getting it to that point is the process of moving it down to the, and the last step is Malchus, where Kesher Baruch's presence is expressed in this world. That's the process of moving something from Kesser through the process of Malchus. Why does it have to go through that process? Because the person decided so. That's the simplest answer. But the best analogy for that is, you have, now Russia could have made it differently, but this is how we made it. You have an energy generating plant, power generating plant. So it produces the energy in the millions of kilowatts, etc. And now you have your little receptacle in your house, which gets a current of 110 or 220. Now, if that 2 million things would come through your house, it would sort of blow your house to smithereens. So there are step downs. There's these fancy things that they do, which change the power to lower element, lower strengths, which we are then able to use properly for the purpose we need to accomplish. It would blow our house to smithereens. It wouldn't be effective. It would just wouldn't do what we need to accomplish with it. So that process of the brush of creating that first energy and then moving it down to where it becomes effective to do what it needs to be accomplished is the process of moving it through these things. Each step is an anhaga Kadosh Baruch Hu uses to move it towards that process. The Keser is the purpose of the Bria. Malchus is when we're able to actually bring it to that fruition. So that's a Soif Maaseh Machshava Tchila. The final result was the original Machshava. The final result is the Soif Maaseh, what you actually do the Maaseh was, that was the plan. And so Adam Arishan, Adam is the last thing in the Bria, but he was the purpose of the whole Bria, because Adam was what will allow Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus to be present. So he's the Seif Maaseh, but he was the Machshavah. He was the purpose of everything. So the Zohar has some fancy names for Adam, etc. But it means basically that the Ratzon for the Bria was to have an Adam, which then can recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, our role is to give him the keser. Our goal is to take that process of being aware of his presence and accomplish what the Bria was supposed to accomplish, which is keser. Okay. The Nevi'im had visions where they were able to see different hagdos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, and have a clarity of that level of vision, exactly what is happening. Just as an aside, so what we're talking about, you know, it's not like, you know, it sounds almost to us sometimes the phrases are random. There's a science to it. Rosh has a science. Kabbalah is a science. It's a science of explaining on Haggadah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very exact science, a very precise science. Different names represent different things and then different characters, and there's a process, and each one fits very perfectly where it belongs, etc. And it's not, you know, random, you know, voodoo. For our minds, sometimes, like, you know, you get a snippet here and a snippet there. It's like, what is it all about? The very clear system of how it works. The VM were able to see certain levels. Where Nevuah goes, they had limitations of what they're able to see. So Yechezkel has a Nevuah where he sees the Kiseh. Kiseh is representing, you know, the idea of the king sitting on his throne. And on the Kiseh there's the Musodim. So what does it mean on the Kiseh there's the Musodim? It means on the Kiseh, again, the Kiseh represents that the Bershom created the world as a way to give Keser to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to give this Malchus to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the world stands on. The process, the being which was put in the place which is able to accomplish that is Adam. So not that Adam is the Melech. Adam is the one who gives the Kiseh its function. Adam is the one who's... Right? So there's a mara of what Adam represents in Shemayim, the representation of what Adam is, which in that true form it is in Shemayim, it represents what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for the Bria. Again, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see his Maisim. We are part of his Maisim. We are the most important part of his Maisim. We play the most important role. So we, in our pristine state in Shemayim, represent an Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hanhaga is referred to as Keser. Okay. Comes this year of COVID, which you take a 9-year-old kid, you know, you put him up there to sing this beautiful song to Kadosh Baruch Hu, about which the Cheskel Novi saw this Mara of Nevuah and Yeshaya, you know, etc., and the Rizal and all those wonderful people, you know, and they sing it with this nice tune. Right, so comes to the Vilna Gaon and says, no. Five times a year is good enough. Right, three times, it tells you to do it three times a year. Four times a year, they do it a Shana Rabba in the morning, Yom Kippur, and 2 days Rosh Hashanah. They say twice in Yom Kippur, right? Kippur at night, Yom Kippur in the morning. So I guess that, so, right? And there's a very, very, the Aron HaKodesh is open, and there's a very special tune for it that they have, which is very Mechubadik, etc. And when one of the Rosh Hashivas leads it, you know, that's Anam Zmiris. That's what Yehuda Chosid had in mind, Anam Zmiris. The Bush was saying, how in the world can you say this thing every single day? Right. Now, to go through some of the different references, let's go through some of the Ketoyim over here. So Anam Zmiris is Shir Medrig. I'm going to sing Zmiris, and I'm going to weave poetry. Because I have a desire to Kadosh Baruch Hu. My nefesh desires to be under your tzeil. Most of the references over here are based on Sukkim. It's a pasuk that Bershom creates a protection over the human being. That also means when you're b'tzeil yodicha, I see the shadow. I can't see Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I can see the shadow of what he's created. That's Yodi, his actions. The Tzel Yodi is the shadow which his actions create. So I can recognize him from the shadow. I once heard a result. However, says a mashal, if you ever old cinematography, which they used film, and nowadays cinematography uses digitization, but in the old days when they used film, so what do they do? They had this type of a cellulose type of material which was transparent. They put a picture on it. They put it there with a light behind it, and the light would shine through the picture and create something on the screen. You'd see the result of the light behind this picture. So if there's nothing on the frame, on the film, it started out as being clear. So you get a clear white screen. You put a picture now, you create shadows, and the result is now you see a picture. So you put the or behind this, and the result is this shadow creates a picture. That's Tzel Yodi. That's the shadow. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates an appearance of a reality by shining his light through that tzel. And we don't always see it as the tzel. But for us, that's called reality. We live in the film. Okay. So, I'm going to speak at you things which are nichbad, which are very, very precious. I'm going to chabad you with a song of friendship. I'm not able to see you. I will compare you. I will give you a kinoy. I do not really know who you are. Through your neviim, your avodim, they were able to create. You allow them to create the glory of the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your actions, your gdula and your gevura, kinu, they designated them the seka pula secha as the accomplishments or the strength of your pulas. So the gdula and gevura of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which are meters of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we know them through his actions. Dimo yischa v'lo kifi yeshka, they compared you, but not as you really are. By yeshavucha l'fi ma'secha, him shiluchu b'rois chasyonis, him ch'echa b'chol dimyonis. Chas v'shalom, do not think the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not one. So one of the major dangers of learning Kabbalah and learning it well is, right, so a person sees very clearly that this has certain karkas, this has certain powers, and you focus on that and its ability to, this hanhaga accomplishes that, and you forget about the full picture which connects it all together. The result of that is chas v'shalom, the more a person has the kasis benetiyas. A person sees not the tree with the roots and the trunk and the branches, the smaller branches, he just sees the branches. He sees that this kayach does X, and if you're very good at it, you can learn how to interact with that kayach and get X and forget about the whole picture. So one of the arguments against Kabbalah was that Kabbalah was about Azor, because it's taking Kadosh Baruch Hu and making him not one, because it's focusing on each and Haga separately, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was only one. So he was saying, Chas v'shalom, is not what we mean. Whatever we see, Kadosh Baruch Hu is really only one. We're just seeing different Hagas. Okay. So there's Pesukim we talk about seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu like the Hashem is a seva, and we see Kadosh Baruch Hu also at the same time as being. Chazal say that the zikna is b'yarm din, u'bachrus b'yarm krov. The zaken represents the ability to sit and judge something with wisdom. Person is a zaken, shakana chokma, and the bachur is the one who has the strength to go out and ishlak and ishmocham and do that. The Russian puts a cover Yeshua b'roisho. He puts on his helmet of Yeshua. We go, it's like the warrior going out, and that's on Hagav Kadosh Baruch Hu, where he's going out to protect Klal Yisrael. Tali Aris Rosha Nimla, so that's a reference to a pasuk in Yeshaya. The Rosham is going to have Tal Oris Talecha. The Rosham has a do, which is or. And that's the do, we're talking about the Tal of Tzias HaMesim. So that is will be used. It's or. It's how do you have a do which is made out of or? That's a kind of Kadosh Baruch Hu's business. So your head is, the person wakes up and he goes outside and it's very, very nice and doing it, his head becomes wet with the towel. So you, what you, your head is wet with, which means the purpose of Tali Arvus is to bring to the founding Yeshua at the end, which that's the purpose of the Bria. That's what the Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set, that that's the beginning. Because that's going to be the end. The end is an expression of what the beginning was. So that's what's there. Kutzer Sov, Rishisa Laila, Rishisim is rain. That's Kutzer Sov, his literally the locks, his person's hair flowing down. The hair. I don't want to get. I prefer not to get involved in hair, if you don't mind. Hair is a complicated sugya. In the Russian's hair, the Russian's beard. You know, in the Kabbalah, I don't want to get involved in that for now. Okay. You spar being a kovit. It's people who you live in a terrace suite. So the Russian's going to be for in a terrace suite, which again, it's a crown. He's going to be for a terrace so to see the one that he desires. The word suite means not a deer. I don't know how they translate it in our school. Right, but it doesn't mean a deer, D-E-E-R. It means a deer, D-E-A-R, the one that a Russian desires. That's the tzvi. So Russian is going to be for us the crown of the one that he desires. Christ is what he desires. Kesem tahor pause the mus roishoy. His the mus roishoy is like it's pure, like pure gold. Bechalkol meitzah kol shem kodshay. So the before she make that say that reference is referring to the Kohen Gadol that has the Tzitzit Zov. Now the Tzitzit Zov, it has the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that there's a human being in this world who's able to carry the Kohen Shem Kodshay on his Meitzach, on his forehead. That's the standard way of translating it. I find it a little bit difficult to understand it in the flow. It sort of seems to move away from the flow. It sounds like it's more referring to the Rosh that we're talking about over here, that Rosh is representing with the Rosh. But okay, if they're comfortable saying like that, we'll leave it for that, like that for now. So Umos Eloi Yitro HaTorah, we're the nation which creates a crown for him. We make the crown for him. Neveat Tzedek, Yerushalayim, the Beis Mikdash, the Tzvi Sefer Torah, the place where he desires for his glory. Yalanoa, Rosh Shem Chosoy, which for us, it goes over every important than every other Simcha. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the same Hanhaga. He's not happy with all of his Simcha until he has Yerushalayim back. Skula Soy, Klal Yisrael, which is our Skula, Tino B'yodo Aterish, should be a crown for Kadosh Baruch Hu. With Tzvi Pelucha, Tzvi Tiferes. Amusim Nesoa Materis Dindo. So the Amusim is the ones that the Bershom carried. It's a lashon of a pasuk that the Bershom is almost something that you carry in your arms. The Bershom carried us from the time of the Mitzrayim, and we're going to weave. Anida is refer to making a slip knot is an anida. So it's a terrace. We're going to weave a crown for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pharaoh Eli of Pharaoh Elov. We were his tefillin. He was our tefillin. We were tefillin, which talks about him. So his glory is on us, and the glory of Klal Yisrael. So Chazal say, "Where's tefillin?" And the tefillin it says about how Klal Yisrael is unique and special. Which then Keshet Tefillin Harala Onov Tumunas Hashem LeNegarinov. He was able to see the back of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means that we can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the front. Seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu in the front means before something happens, without anything happening, we have no way to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because you only understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu through his actions. So we can see him from behind, we can't see him from in front. So even to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe only shows the Keshet Tefillin, the back of the Tefillin. which that's what holds it all together, right? The glory is in front. That's the purpose. We don't understand the purpose of the purpose until we see Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. We see what he wants to happen. We're able to deduce backwards what was about it, and that's the tune of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which he was able to see. Rosh Tavarcha Me'emes Karemi Rosh. So the beginning means at the moment of the beginning of the Bria, the Bresham had, he was conveyed that there's an emes, which is the purpose of everything. And Dervador Am Dereshcha Derosh. In all the generations, we are seeking out to find you. You should seek us. Am Dereshcha Dereshcha, you should be Derosh. Okay. We are hope that our praise should be a crown to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tikar Shiras Rosh Be'enecha, even though we're like an oni, what do we have to offer? It's like the shir Bechusit Sana Lirosh to Mashpir Malachol Amavet Vine. Bechusit Sana Lirosh, he should nod his head when we give the bracha. It's referring to the Moran brachas that Yishmo Bini Bracheni, and the Bresham asked the Kohen Gadol to give him a bracha. And he gave him a bracha, and the Mor says that the Rosh nodded his head. Right? It means he accepted the bracha. And what was the bracha? The Rosh basically should, that his midah on haga of chesed should be overcome with the haga of din. Which means that din is not a primary function. The primary function is chesed. There are times the Rosh has to use din, but that the midah of chesed should be the primary function. And that leads us back, the first haga after the Rosh is chesed. It moves into the Rosh starts being noyeg with chesed. But after the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Bria is the Hag of Chesed. Okay, Yerev No Sich Yolecha, Ki Nafshi Sarag Yolecha. We go back to what we said at the beginning of the Shir, that we have a desire to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The only tefillah which I can compare it to, which reminds me of it in a certain way, is Yedid Nefesh, right? Where the Baal Apiyot, Eliezer Al-Azkiri, talks about his desire for to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tremendous desire to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there, just Pasha talks about the desire. Here, 400 years earlier, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid talks about his desire, but he's able to express it in the sense of, I want to be the vehicle to give the chesed to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be that one who's able to accomplish the purpose of the Bria, the covenant that the Bresham created the world, call it Klonikar Bishvi, the Chvari Barasiv, it's talking about Vasisiv. So the way it's the Baal Kabbalah divide the pasuk is Luchwaidi, Berosim, Yitzar Tavav Asisim. There's four alamas. There's Atzilus, Bria, Yitzir, and Asiya. Luchwaidi is Atzilus. That's the moments of creation of the purpose. That's Luchwaidi, Berosim, Yitzar Tavav Asisim. That's the worlds which come after that. So he expresses his desire to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He should be zeicha to recognize the purpose of the Bria, the keser of the Bria, and he's zeicha to be able to give that keser malucha to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tefillah. It's when said with the proper setting and the proper kavana, it's a little bit overwhelming. That we even say the words, just like we're saying these words over there. Maybe the reason why they give it to a little kid because he doesn't know what he's talking about for sure. This way, won't they make any bad machshavas? And we sing it with some funny song, so therefore, nobody thinks about it at all. It's probably not such a bad idea, because if they would. They would tell we would be very confused by it. What exactly are we supposed to take away from this? What exactly are we saying? What exactly is the purpose of this? Why are we doing this? So the answer is it's a hekadimsa for kids to sing at the end of the davening. Okay. Right? I'm saying it, a little cynically, but I mean in a certain sense, who's okay, so it's not the kid is not Roy to say. Who is, yes, Roy to say it? Right? Okay, you want to be the one who says, "I'm ready to say it." You know, it's like you give the haftarah of Yecheskel, you give it to the minhag, you give it to the rav, right? You know, or to some, you know, the god of the kehila, you know, because at least he hopefully has some shaykhness to those concepts, you know. It's like, you know, or here they give it to a baron, you know. The baron's very comfortable with that. The baron should say on his ears every week, you know, you know, like, oh yeah, yeah. Right, you know, but you know. But like, what do we, you know? But the bottom line is, it's a tremendous desire of it's a tremendous desire of the human being to be able to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Yehuda Chas is saying, and we do it by recognizing the function, the purpose of the Bria, and what our role is, and how much we can accomplish with that. And that's going to be the Zmiris and the Shirim, which we're going to be able to create for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's on the Zmiris. If you just give me 5 minutes for something a little more simple. At least conceptually a little more simple. I mentioned Mr. Solanto yesterday. I want to say, but there's two parts to that thought. I mentioned yesterday, Mr. Solanto says that the Ksivim Sefer HaChaim really is up to us. That we are able to be Christ ourselves in Sefer HaChaim by the decision to not just go with the flow, but try and work and try and develop and try and move ourselves in the right direction we're supposed to go, which can take a very long time. We suggested 400 years or so. Right? But at least you're going in the right direction. That's Chaim. As opposed to just being swept away by all of your challenges and your concerns, etc. Then you go downstream. Then it goes downstream. Chaim, you're able to go upstream. So, that's Kesvein of Sefer HaChaim. So says the second half of that tefillah, Zecher L'Chaim El Chafetz B'Chaim, Kesvein of Sefer HaChaim L'Mancha L'Chim Chaim. So he says the word L'Mancha over here is very telling. So I want health, I want pardasa, I want nachas, I want, you know, whatever stage a person's in. A person's not married yet, a person is married, a person has kids, a person wants nachas, right? There's some things I want. For myself. I mean, honestly, the correct way to say the tefillah is right? What's the mancha l'kib chayim? What's the mancha? So Yisrael says that he would pause very, very long before he said the word l'mancha to really contemplate that you can't say sheker to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, do you really mean it? If you don't really mean it, like, you know, so what are you saying? So he paused, and he was able to get to the point where he felt comfortable saying it. By us, when Esther ends there, right? Okay. Because Esther was never a chayim, and we can't go right there because. So what does it mean? So one understanding, I think, like this. Right? So a child comes to a parent, and the child wants something from the parents. And the parent loves their child. The response of most parents, most times, you know, consider everything being normal, right? They want to give it to the child. And the desire of the parent to give the child the item, to give the child that pleasure, etc., is greater than the desire of the child for the item. So the kid comes to his parents, you know, Afikoman peasants, you know, they want a new bike for the Afikoman peasants. So let's understand the child wants a bike. The parent wants to give pleasure to his child. A bike lasts for X amount of time. The pleasure that you gave is something which is ruchnius, which lasts forever. The hamnoah, I did something which was I gave a pleasure to somebody. And the desire of a parent to give it to the child is much, much greater than the desire that the child has for the item. So we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and we ask for chayim and b'riyus and parnasa and, you know, all these different things, etc. The person doesn't want to give this to us. Of course he wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to us more than we want it ourselves. But there's a problem. My child wants a bike, but I know that right now that he doesn't know how to ride a bike, and he's not developed enough to how to ride a bike, and he's going to smash the bike, and himself, and up in the hospital. So I would love to give my child a bite. I really would. But I can't do it because it's not good for him. So the child says, Tante, I know you want to give me the bike, and I know that you're worried about it, so I'm willing to do what it takes to get the lessons, whatever it is I need to strengthen my muscles to be able to get the bike. This way you can have that law, giving me a bike. So the Baruch says, we come to the Baruch says, listen, we know that you want to give us Chaim and all these things more than we want for ourselves. You want us to be people which are growing and doing the right thing. We should become us every Chaim. You want all of it. You want us to die. So what's the conversation? The person says, I want life, and you want life. It's a great, great relationship. What's the problem? The problem is, Bershom knows that what we're asking for might hurt us. So we have to tell Kosh Baruch that we want to try and use it in the right way, and therefore you'll get the pleasure of giving it to us, and we'll get the pleasure of having it. So we have to stop and understand, once we were kind to ourselves, which means we said, Bershom, I want to go in the right direction and use these items properly. Right? That's what I want to do. I want to go and develop, etc. So now you're able to give to us what you want to do, because I'm going to use it properly. I'm going to take life and use it for good things. It'll take me time. It's a process. But once I'm kosher b'sefer HaChaim, which still says means that I am going to commit to use life for its purpose, so now you're able to give us that time that you want to give us. That's what you want. So that's the flow of the tefillah. So if we truly, honestly, can get to some point, not overwhelming amounts, but some point where we say, Bershom, you know, I know you gave me life, and I know that it's a matana from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I know that you want me to use it for good things. I want to use it for good things. I don't want to use it for bad things. I'm much happier if I use it for the right things. But I have challenges. So I'm going to work on my challenges to overcome them. I'm going to commit to try and make this year a change, a real change in some direction, in the right direction. Not overwhelming, but you know, like you spoke about yesterday, as much as I can. From that point, now you've accomplished what you want to accomplish with this whole process. Lamancha, that's good for you. So I think that's the understanding of that ket of tefillah. I think it's there's a lot to think about in those words. But at the end of the day, it's not something which is beyond us to honestly say we would like to do the right things with our lives. That we understand the Baruch Hu gave them a ton of, we want to do the right things with it. We want to make some real a real change, even if it's a small amount. But it's a change of direction. I'm no longer going downstream, I'm going upstream. I'm doing something with my life. I'm controlled. I have a direction. And again, to get to the final point where I get to where I have to get everything in place, it'll take me 400 years, 500 years. But the Bnei Yonah says, but if a person's in the right direction, so then the deal is that even if he's nifter b'chatzi yomah, the Roshim gives him schar as if he completed the whole process, because he's going in the right direction. So as long as we can get to that point, we're going in the right direction, we have a very good chance of accomplishing a tremendous amount and getting schar as if we accomplished everything, and we are kosher b'sefer HaChaim.